Everything to us. We declare you are the Alpha, the Omega, and everything in between. We declare you are the reason why we live. The only reason why we can live. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that's renewed daily. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for speaking to us. Even this morning. Thank you because your words come to us with accuracy and with power. Thank you because that word, the entrance of your word, gives life. Thank you because the entrance of your word brings understanding. The entrance of your word brings strength, brings the wisdom necessary for life. Thank you also because the entrance of your word is confirmed with signs and wonders, miracles, and diverse distributions of the Holy Ghost. Thank you because there's no way we sit under your word and we stay the same. Because you said that word is like a seed that is planted. And automatically, it brings forth fruit by itself. Thank you because that word produces for us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you to the choir, amazing mistress of grace. Amen. We are blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. Raised to power 2. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Have you found it? And I want to again welcome those who are here, those who are online. We're joking that fuel has increased this weekend. So automatically some people begin to calculate, you know. I don't know if transport fare has changed from yesterday to today. But there are certain things that we just do. Hallelujah. Yeah, how many people brush their teeth this morning? How many people brush your teeth? Even if you didn't, you raise your hand. I mean, even if you forgot, you will raise your hand. But you brush your teeth. How many people thought about brushing your teeth? You thought about it. Should I not? Maybe I should skip today. Eh? No, you didn't think about it. You just brushed it. But toothpaste is increasing in price. You can save money by brushing every other day. Eh? Even soap, you can have your bath once a week. Yeah, you save money. It's true, isn't it? So the soap bar will last you for maybe 2 months instead of 2 weeks. I'm telling you how to save money. Are you there? So why would you not think about brushing your teeth every other day? Why would you not think about taking your bath once a week? There are certain things you've just made up your mind about. Am I right? You just accepted them. This is life. This is how I must live life. I must brush my teeth. I must. So that's how you take the things of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how the things of God ought to be handled. Is that you just do it. Look at your neighbor. Say, just do it. Yeah, you need to pray. Just do it. You need to study God's word. Just do it. You need to go to church. Just do it. You don't negotiate them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Meaning what? It means that if man eats bread alone, what will happen? He will die. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if you say, look, you cannot live by bread alone, then it means that you die without, if you just stay on bread alone. And it's not talking of bread signifies natural food. So it's not talking about the loaf of bread alone, saying that you need balanced diet, you need beans. You need meat. No. It's just saying that if you are eating just natural food alone, if that's your method of living, that's your secret of life, or that's your philosophy of life, it's saying you will die. It means that things will come against you somewhere along the line. You will not be able to continue. Are you getting what I'm saying? Life will bring certain things your way that, as we say, petrol will finish. You understand? The energy will drain out of you. The strength to carry on will drain out of you. So man shall not live by bread alone. But by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Meaning that whatever it takes for me and you to get the word that proceeds from the mouth of God is something that is essential. We just do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying all of this with the recognition of the challenges that we might go through. Don't worry, this morning I'm talking about the power of consistency. Okay? So I'm saying this as an introduction to the introduction. Okay? But I know that things are that way. I know that things are this way. I know what is going on. I know that it's easy to be tired. I know that once you see the clouds in the sky, you reconsider and all of that. But I'm saying to you that there are certain things you don't consider in life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because those things are a matter of life and death. Meaning that the things that you are going to get, as long as it helps you get the word from the mouth of God, that is a matter of life and death. Because that's what will keep you living. And when you are going to need what you get, whether in your personal closet, in that morning, the next morning, the following week, or in church and all of that, if you did not get it, at the time you need it, you'll be in trouble. Are you with me, anybody? So I'm saying what I'm saying that you might leave. Are you still there? I'm saying it that you might leave. So that we know that, you see, church is not a matter of duty in a sense. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a matter of life and death. So I make that commitment. If I don't brush my teeth, one day, they will tell me my teeth is rotten, Abby. And they will pull it out. Then I will have no teeth. I'll be condemned to drinking pap alone. And because I want to avoid that, I do what I do. Okay? So because I want to avoid death, I do everything I do to get God's word in my life as much as I can. So that I will not be found wanting when I need that word. Can I have an amen? Good. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He said, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Basically, the word of God, the secrets of God. He said, now verse 2, moreover, meaning that a bigger point is being made. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. There are several scriptures we're going to read as I introduce, and then we'll talk about how to develop consistency. Okay, so first and foremost, this scripture we're reading is talking about the things of God. And he's saying, if we're going to be the right representatives, let people look at us and let them see that we are actual representatives of God who command the mysteries of God. So we talk about the word of God. We talk about the Bible. We claim we are Christians. And people are hearing that. They are seeing that. They hear us. They see our badges and our stickers on our doors and all of that. And so we are saying we are stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, but if we will be in reality, it is required that we are faithful. It's required that we are committed to it. The word faithful, I'll try to remember that correctly, in Merriam-Webster dictionary, means to have a firm commitment to a promise or to a duty. Okay? It means to be firmly committed to a promise or a duty. So he's saying that, look, if men will look at us and say, these are the true stewards of the mysteries of God, then it is required that we are truly committed to that word of God. We are committed to the things of God. We are committed to our duties in and with God. That commitment. So when you read the word faithful in the Bible, because I played around with titles a little bit for this one, you'll find many times when you see the word patience, it also has an element of faithfulness. When you see so when he's talking about patience, when he's talking about perseverance, those are all elements of faithfulness. And those are all elements of consistency. Because somebody who is faithful means that that person is consistent. Remember we said it's firm adherence to the promises, it's firm adherence to duty. It means that that person is consistent, is adherent to it very strictly. He adheres to what needs to be done. Whatever he needs to do, he does it part time. Whatever the promises are, he sticks by it. So he has stickability. When he tells you this is what God's word says, he stays by it. He doesn't care anything else. If he tells you, look, God commands us in the Bible to do this, that's what he's going to do. He's not going to do otherwise, no matter what you tell him. Except you can show him from God's word that it is not so. That is faithfulness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. So we can't afford in the things of God to be people that are flimsy. People that today they are shouting glory, hallelujah. God has said, he has done it for me. And tomorrow they are saying otherwise. Remember what we're reading in the Bible school this morning. Where Ezra said in Ezra chapter 8, he said, look, I called for a fast because we have a problem. We were faced with a lot of danger on that journey. He said, but we cannot go back and ask the king for an escort of soldiers because we had been bragging and we had said, don't worry. Meaning that really, when they were setting out on the journey, the king had probably said to them, look, you are carrying a lot of goods. Can I give you an escort of soldiers? And they said, no, king, don't worry. The God we serve is a mighty God. He's able to protect us.
He said, but when we got to the river of Ahava, we saw that there were lots of bandits and a lot of danger on the way. He said, and we cannot go back to the king and say, sir, actually, we didn't know that they had AK-47. We thought it was only knives, but this, the ones that we are hearing about on that journey, the kind of automatic rifles they carry is beyond anything. The soldier you talked about, sir, can they come? He said we couldn't go back, so what we did was we pressed into God and we declared a fast because God must show up for us because we have bragged about God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the consistency and the handling of the mysteries of God, people will see it when we are consistent, when we stick with it, what we have said, we have read, and we have declared about God, we are not changing our minds, no matter the circumstance around us. Are you still there? Is God able to save? Is God able to heal? Is God able to deliver? Is God able to protect? We're not changing our minds. We're not saying something different. We will press into God if we need to. We will declare fast if we need to. But we are not changing it. We can't change our theology to match our experience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Our experience must be forced to conform with our theology. Whatever it takes. Can I hear you say whatever it takes? In Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 11. He said, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Again, these are all words. These are all words that fit into consistency. That you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Hebrews 6:11. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish. So along the way, you don't begin to do one kind. Along the way, we don't begin to follow you up. Along the way, we don't begin to wonder why you are not in church. Along the way, we don't begin to wonder why you are not praying. Along the way, we don't begin to wonder why you are not studying the Bible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you do not become sluggish. He said, but imitate those who through faith and patience. Another word that speaks to consistency. Patience, that is perseverance. Someone who is persevering is consistent. He said, but you imitate those who through, you copy. The word imitate is copy. Copy those who through faith and consistency or patience inherit the promises. What that is telling me, I prayed something many years ago and I titled it, Faith is Not Enough. I've just finished teaching on faith on Thursdays. And I said, faith is not enough. Because you can't say, I believe God, and everything you get works. And I was still saying on Thursday that most people will not have a problem with faith. If every time we prayed, the next minute, whatever you prayed for appears, you'll be fine. Oh, when they say, believe God, you say, yes now. Of course, we cannot go. If not, but why not? I mean, we believe God. When they say, let's pray about something, you say, sure, let's pray about it. Why? Because when we prayed now, 1 minute, the next minute, it shows up. But the reason why people are struggling is because there's time in between the prayer and the manifestation. And that time requires patience. That time requires consistency. But I will keep saying the same thing as what God's word said. Until I see what God's word said come to pass. Are you with me? And so Hebrews 6 here tells us, he said, the people you have seen inherit the promises. For whom the promises are working, he said, they don't just have faith, they also have what? Patience. They are consistent. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he said that they, we having the same spirit of faith as it is written that we have spoken, as it is written, therefore we speak. He said we also believe and therefore speak. What that means is that when you are walking in faith, you say the same thing as what God has said until you see it happen. Are you with me? So that consistency is an utmost requirement. And that consistency is necessary because time oftentimes comes between what you are asking God for, believing God for, and what you eventually get. Not only so, even in the, I'm talking of the power of consistency. So I've started from the spiritual. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20. And we look in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20. So we're looking at, we've looked at the spiritual, and we are discovering, or we've discovered from the spiritual side of things, that God requires consistency. God requires that when I believe God, I stay believing God until I see it. Can I have an amen? In fact, you know, you'll read through your Bible and you discover that that's the, I'm trying to move on because of time, you know, you discover that that is an absolute requirement. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35, he said we cannot let go of confidence. Because we have discovered that we have need of confidence. That confidence means just staying there. That haven't done the will of God, we will receive the promise. You have to stand there and just be consistent, believing God. The psalmist said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't give up. I'm consistent on God's word. Are you with me? We're reading in James the other day about the fact from verse 2. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse kinds of temptations or trials. He said, because that temptation or trial works what? Patience. Consistency. He said, and if you allow patience to have its perfect work in you, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Again, sounding like Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Meaning that if that trial of faith, what it's trying to do in me is that it's trying to build that personality of consistency. Somebody who just stays the same, who doesn't change based on circumstances, who keeps believing God, who keeps saying the same thing as what God has said until he sees it. He said, and if I develop that characteristic or that personality or that profile, he said, then I will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Meaning that everything I ever want, I get. Are you there? So Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. It says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. So when you ask people, maybe on a job, you ask people, you know, do you think you can do this job? I said, me. Sir, I can do 10 times this job. In fact, I'm the best thing since meat pie. Is that what Pastor Esco said? You know, sir, I am very good. Sir, I am. I work very well in the team. Sir, I am a team player. I am a skillful person. I work independently under little supervision. I am. He said, most men will proclaim what? His own goodness. But who can find what? A faithful man. So all of the I am, he said, what is it? We are looking for a faithful man. And how many are they? How many are they? Who are those people that you can really depend on and you can expect that if this thing is committed to that guy's hand, he will be there doing it, even if you are not there seeing him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It works the same. I mean, someone I know lost a job recently. He doesn't even know he lost the job. He doesn't even know why he lost the job. Because he never got the job. You understand? And why he didn't get the job, he doesn't know. But I knew somebody who was going to take him up. He would invest and also be the MD of the business. And my friend had told me about everything and all that. And he called me one day and he was telling me, he said, you know, in looking for someone who could manage that thing, he was thinking of this guy, but that when he sent his CV and he checked his profile, he said he saw that guy had worked in every company possible in that line. Somebody said, but that's a good thing. I mean, he said, no, but what he showed me is that guy had no commitment to anybody. Did you see that? He said he showed me he has no loyalty. He's not loyal to anyone. He will just get whatever he can and he will dump us. He said because he just went everywhere. So I laughed when he told me. And I said, you know, when you told me you were thinking of the guy, that's what crossed my mind. But I didn't want to say anything. I said, but I'm glad that you saw it yourself. I'm glad that you could see that when you looked at that profile. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everyone will proclaim his own goodness, but what was he looking for? Faithfulness. That would this guy have any commitment to this beyond the money he's getting? So if tomorrow the business is shaky a little bit, he will dump us. We're on our own. He's not going to struggle through and say, hey, we need to work this out. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's solve that problem. He said the guy will dump us. And he's the MD. Are you hearing me? Consistency is required if you'll be a success. People are looking for who the consistent man or the consistent woman will be. Can I have an amen? God is looking for such. Men are looking for such. So we have to talk about how you develop consistency. Number one, you have to be someone who lives by revelation. That sounds spiritual. Abi? Yeah, that sounds spiritual. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Did I say 20? Yes, Proverbs 29. Are you still here in church? Are you getting something this morning? So that ability to keep going and keep going and keep going on a path and be consistent. It doesn't mean that I can't change direction sometimes. It doesn't mean that when I'm doing something, I can't change direction. But it means that how or what stimulates my change of direction. Are you with me? That's the important thing. What directs me? What really, really moves me? I've known ministers, and I'm thinking of a particular one. Every time I met him, I'll have to ask him, what is the name of their church and where is it? I'm not joking. I'll have to ask, you know, what's the name of your church now? And where is it now? Because they've moved from here. Not because they have necessarily have accommodation problem. But because perhaps he's not seeing something he expected to see. Maybe they have not reached 1,000 in 6 months. Then he will move. God is not moving here. He will move to K2. Then they start in K2, then they don't reach 1,000 in 6 months. If we move to Lekki, I have to say, what's the name of the church? You know, and where? Are you hearing me? In fact, recently I had to go online to check where he is. Are you following me? But that consistency also meant that I put a distance. Because I said, I don't deal with people like this. You have found, even in the profile of the people, most of the people you have seen, I think with this, at the exception of very few, most of the guest ministers you have seen, I tell you, I've known this person for decades. I know this person. I've seen this person's consistency. There are very few people that are my friends. So when I tell you my friend, I've known the person. You know, so you've seen them. You saw Pastor Esco. You've seen Brad Tokes before. I mean, I tell you, I know this person. I've seen the consistency. Because it's very important. Are you with me? Good. Proverbs chapter 29. Are you there? Look at verse 18. He said, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. The God's Word translation says, without prophetic vision, people run wild. But the NLT says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Are you hearing me? So if there's no divine guidance, that's what I'm calling living by revelation. Meaning you need to ask yourself, what does God want me to do? If you want to be a consistent person, ask yourself, what does God want me to do? So the word vision, if you read the old King James, says where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision means divine guidance or divine revelation. God shows you, and we pointed out that it's not necessarily even very spectacular. We saw that also in Bible study. It's just a knowing in your heart and a belief in your heart that this is what God wants me to do. This is the direction God wants me to go. So if you are going to be a consistent person, you'll have to be somebody who asks God, what am I supposed to do? Every job offer shouldn't move you. Can I have an amen? Even if it pays more. You should ask God, what do you want me to do? Should I take this job? Should I go in this direction? Is this where you are sending me to? Because he has a plan for your life. Are you still there, anybody? You've gone quiet. Huh? Because you want to take the bigger offer. You know, I've told you the story before of a gentleman who testified and said he had lost his job, was believing God, dire situation. And he was believing God, and he had two offers. And he asked me, called me and asked me, and said, you know, I'm wondering which of the offers, and blah, blah, blah. One clearly better than the other one, paying more and all that. And he said, which offer should I take? So, of course, within me, I chuckle. So I laugh. I said, because when you have to ask, it's because you know something. Abby? Are you here? It's because you know something. Like somebody told me years ago. He said, if you have to ask somebody and say, is my cloth dirty? He said, it can't be clean. Abby? Because when it is clean, you didn't ask anybody. So this one that you are asking, that you think this thing is dirty? My friend, don't wear it. It's dirty. You know, you are seeing something already that is convincing you that it is not very clean. So when it was very clean, just came from the laundry, you didn't ask anybody when you wore it. You just wore it and you matched out and you were doing catwalk. Now that you are asking all of us, is it clean? Do you think this thing is clean? Do you think it's clean? It's not clean. Are you there? So he said, so which one should I take? So I laughed. I said, which one do you think you are supposed to take? They said, well, is this one that has this. I said, okay, so you know. So go ahead and do it. Are you listening to me? And when he took the job, I told you before, he got on the job, and then they said to him, the man on the job, the owner of the business said to him, you are the first employee of this business, and I'm not even sure the business will work. I don't know whether in 6 months there will still be a business. He said, you are the first employee, welcome. And I'm just trying it out. Whether it will succeed or not, in 6 months we will know. So in 6 months we will know whether you will still have a job or not. And he thought to himself, God, why didn't you let me go, you know, to this other direction? God said, this is where I put you. Stay there. And today he's a director in that company. And it's a multinational company. Are you hearing me? Why? Because God knew. And so even when they went through, even when things were not solid yet and were struggling to build the place, God knew, I sent you here for a purpose. Not just for even his personal success, but even his lifestyle and his conviction about God and all that, his ministry to those people, ministry to the founder and all of that, and they're all wondering, because each year the business has been expanding, growing different legs and arms and all of that, and he said the ones they gave him, he beat the targets. So the one they gave him to run, he beat all the targets to run that business, he grew the business. Then the following year, they said, you know what, we want you to manage this one, which was the most difficult of all the businesses. He took it over, he grew the business. And of course, they knew that there is something this guy has on him. So you tell them it's God. It's like Daniel, isn't it? So God knew why he sent him there, not just to become director and have money, but he sent him there as a witness in that environment. The kind of people he's talking to, the kind of people he's sitting with, there are people that you won't see in church. And you can't readily go and give a handbill and say, come to church. You won't even see where to see them. Are you hearing me? Ephesians chapter 5. But when you have that revelation, that this is where God wants me to be, then you are consistent. You stay with it. If you know that this is the person God wants me to marry or wanted me to marry, you stay with it. Can I have an amen? Can I have a louder amen? Are you still with me, anybody? So you don't change. People don't tell you and come and just change anyhow. They change this, they change that, they change business. You say to some people, you know, do you know anybody who does this kind of business? By the time you refer them to that person, they say, stop doing that one. So, what are you doing now? Then they tell you, I'm doing something else again. Are you hearing? I always give the analogy that if you went and you want to be a vulcanizer, and you start a vulcanizing business, and you put your machine in front of my house, I will not stop to do my tire with you. Your machine is right there on my street like this. I won't do my tire with you. You are wondering why? Because I already have a vulcanizer. Abi? I have a vulcanizer. I have a relationship with my vulcanizer. I know him. He knows me. We don't negotiate price. We know what we pay each other. Are you getting me? And I go to him. But one day, when I wake up and the tire is flat, and you are the one on the street next to me, I will call you. I won't wait to go to my vulcanizer who is far away. I will call you and say, come and help me do this tire. Now, you do that tire. I like what you did and all of that. Then I start considering you to do my tires. Are you following what I'm saying? But by the time that happens to me, I start considering you. My neighbor starts considering you. The other neighbor starts considering you. You have already given up and said the people are not coming. And you have gone to start another business. You sold the machine and went to start tailoring. But I have a tailor already. Do you see how it works? I said, do you see how it works? I have a tailor already. So it's going to take something to happen someday when I will say, okay, maybe I should just try you. And God help you that when that day comes, you have been consistent and you will be found faithful and you are there. You understand how consistency works? And that's how you build. So now that you have now done for me, I will talk about you and tell somebody or my neighbor and others, say, where are you going? We want the guy says, I'm going to the tailor. Say, tailor, where? He says, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I say, but the guy on the street. He said, that guy. I said, no, I've used him. He's good. And it's not too expensive. He said, I said, yeah, try him. That's how you begin to build. You begin to build. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Ephesians chapter 5. But if by the time your reputation or opportunity should be working for you, you have already moved, then there's trouble. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly or wisely, not as fools. You walk carefully, circumspectly, not as fools, but wise people, redeeming the time because the days are evil. My emphasis is verse 17. He says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore, do not be what? Unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. One says, but finding out. Finding out what the will of the Lord is. So if the days are evil and you want to make the best of the time and you want to develop, therefore, the power of consistency, find out what the will of the Lord is. And go with the will of God. And I have a loud amen. Amen. Go with the will of God. It may take a while. But if you live by revelation, in the world they will call it conviction. Can I hear you say conviction? That's when somebody just has a conviction. I'm supposed to be a pilot. I'm supposed to be a tailor. I'm supposed to be a teacher. Live by conviction. So in the world, they won't talk about patience, consistency, and all that. They talk about conviction. That man is a man of conviction. When he believes in something, he believes in it. Are you with me? You know when they had, what's it called? Is it when they started Apple? There were two people who started Apple. No, three people. Three people started Apple. You know apple? Not apple. So that's a company that makes the iPhone, the everything, the MacBook, and all of that. So it's supposed to be, is it still the most valuable company in the world? Yeah, it still is the most valuable company in the world. It was the first company in the world to become a $1 trillion worth company. $1 trillion worth company was the first. So it's the biggest company in the world. And when they started, there were three people. One of them was the main person who had the most money and invested money in the business. You know his story. Mm-hmm. And that guy, after a few days, he sold his shares. He said this thing that these boys are doing, that they said they will start an Apple company. We don't know whether it's Apple to eat or what. This company that they said they will start computer, and the computer will take over. There is IBM before them and all of that. I don't know how they want to do all their razzmatazz. I don't even know the jazz with which they spoke to me that I put my money inside there. He said, this thing looks like it's going to fail, yo. Me, I'm not doing it again, yo. So he sold his shares. I think his shares that he sold at that time were worth about $3,000. So they gave him $3,000. They look, $3,000. They counted $3,000 and gave it to him and said, that's the value of your shares now. And he walked away. If he had stayed and left the money, his shares would have been worth $320 billion today. If he had stayed, he just stayed there, just stayed with it, just be there. Say, okay, hey boys, I say, I don't understand you, but I believed you. I had the conviction when you talked about the vision, and he stayed with it. What it would be worth today from that investment alone is $320 billion. Are you still with me? Okay, so number two. So number one is what? Live by revelation. For you and I, we know better than just anybody else. We know that what that conviction really is and should be is God revealing to you your direction in life. And you sticking with that direction that God shows you. I want you to be an engineer. I want you to be this. And I want you to work here and there. And you just keep following what God has said. That's how we live. The same God reveals to people even sometimes when they are not saved. And the person just knows, I want to be this. And then they talk about that Batman has strong conviction. Okay? But that's not enough. Number two, don't stop because there are bumps on the road of your journey. Okay? Don't stop because there are bumps and potholes. So when you are on the journey, you are heading somewhere, don't stop because you met a pothole, you met bumps. I went to Ede recently. And the road. That road was something else. I didn't know. I knew that road between Ibadan and I knew it was bad. But I thought someone would have had mercy. That road was still as bad was. But I went because I was convinced it was a funeral I was going for. And I thought if I don't go to that event there, I'll have to go to Benin. And the Benin will also clash with something else. So I said, I must go to this place. So as we face the bumps, as we face the potholes, I told the driver, continue. Continue. Because if we will be consistent and get where we are going, which requires consistency, we must continue. At some point, the guy even went to the other side following other vehicles, not because there was traffic like we see on Lagos Ibadan Expressway, but because of the bombs and all that, crossed to the other side and took the other side. And I said, why did you take the other side? I said, that road is so bad, it's so bad. And then by the time we were coming back, we saw FRSC and they were like, I said, it's because of your crossing to the other side. He said, no. I said, yes, that's why they are stopping you. And the guy did, but was nice enough. Just to warn us. I said, look, I will deal with you if I want to deal with you now. So when we left, I said, I told you. Are you there? But you don't stop because of the bombs. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2. So the bombs will cause you, the potholes, they will cause you delays. Okay? It can be short delay, it can be long delay. If you entered it and your tire busted, then you may be longer than you could have been. But you may just have to be slowing down a lot. I mean, there was one day years ago, I was going on Lagos Ibadan Expressway, and that was terrible before they also fixed it. And I went in and just entered the pothole. The shock absorber came out of his the car stood like this. Then I had to move and park. That was how bad it was. So I had quite a delay. So the bumps and the potholes can cause you delays, but you have to be consistent and keep going. And keep going. And keep going. I still went to Ibadan that day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Despite that major mishap, luckily the car stopped right where I stopped. I found somebody right there who could fix it. And I've always said that one of the mercies I've enjoyed from God, I've hardly had incidents where the car will stop. But every time it did, it always stopped where there was help waiting. There was appropriate help waiting. Or I get the car home, irrespective of the problem that I've had. In fact, there was one day many years ago, but when I woke up one morning and my mechanic came to the house and he called me and I said, what's the problem? He said, he heard that I came to his shop to look for him, that my car stopped somewhere out of town. And I said, no, it's not me. I didn't come to your shop. He said, I told them, I said, doctor, the car will get here. It won't stop. He will bring that car to this place. First of all, that car won't be in the middle of nowhere. But it's the mercy of God that one way or the other, either I'm able to manage it or there's somebody right there who is able to manage it, put it together, and I get to where I'm going. Are you still with me? Habakkuk chapter 2. So no matter the delays, no matter how long or short the delay might be, developing consistency means that you don't stop. Can I hear you say, don't stop? Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. This is the emphasis. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So though it's taking a while, stay with the program. I always like that saying that said that, look, irrespective of every other animal, even the snail made it to the ark. Eh? So when in Genesis, Noah was asked and he built an ark and God said, oh, put all the animals in there, 2 by 2, 3 by 3, and ensure that those are the animals that will be saved and all that. And he began to gather the animals 2 by 2, 3 by 3, and the monkey would swing from one tree to the other. And he would jump inside. And the lion would go, and would jump inside. And the hyena would just skip, and would jump inside. The snail was coming. Say, wait for me, oh. Then the monkey say, bye-bye. Say, wait for me, oh. And they're all going and they're all jumping and entering the hack one by one, but that hack is going nowhere until the snail finally enters. I said, now we can go. Are you with me? What God has for you is waiting for you. But you have to keep going. Look at your neighbor, say, keep going. You don't give up because I'm tired. Wait, it's soon. If you allow that, that's when you are really stopped. Okay? You don't fail until you say, I failed. And you stop trying. Because as long as you are living to him that is joined to the living, there's what? There's hope. There's always hope. So you keep going. Can I have an amen? You know, when you look at James 5 and verse 1, I talk about it very often. But James tells us, so we see examples in the Bible. James tells us actually about Job in James chapter 5 and verse 11. And he says, indeed, but he makes a summary statement. He said, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. People who don't give up, people keep going, who are consistent about it, keep going. He said, we call those people blessed. Indeed, we call them blessed. Indeed, we consider them to be blessed people. He said, and you have heard. So he gave an example. He said, you have heard of the, remember all the words that I said speak to consistency. He said, you have heard of the perseverance of Job. He kept going. He kept going. They said, curse God and die. If he cursed God and died, that's the end of the story. He said, no, I won't do it. We have received good from God. How will we not receive evil? Forget about his theology and where that theology might have been wrong. But one thing he got right was that he said, I'm not giving up. And if he had done what they said he should do, and truly if he had fallen down and died, then we would not have that book of Job that ended in chapter 42 in a glorious manner and told us that the end of Job was better than his beginning. For he had twice as what he had before. We won't read that chapter. We won't see it. It won't exist. And we'll just be talking of Job as, oh my shay, oh my shay, oh my shay, oh. But now we say, hey, Job. And then God turned the life of Job around. I mean, Job did something. For that to happen, he persevered. Look at your neighbor, say persevere. They said, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So we saw the intention of God. That's what he's saying. That the intention of God would have been thwarted. So we have the ability to thwart the intention of God. We have the ability to short circuit what God has planned for us. Somebody said the biggest hindrance of God is the will of man. The biggest hindrance of God is the will of man. So you and I, we have the ability to stop the plan of God. That's what he's telling us here. But Job's perseverance is what worked in line with the end that God intended and ensured that we saw that end. Can I have an amen? Go to Psalm 105. I believe it's Psalm 105. Psalm 105. If you're happy, you know, say amen. Psalm 105, are you there? Good. Look at verse 17. So we've talked about Job. Remember what we're saying. Number two, don't stop because of the bumps on the road. Don't stop because of the delays. Okay? Keep going. The challenges on the road, don't let them stop you. Okay? So Psalm 105 verse 17, we're looking at Joseph now. He was speaking about Joseph. He sent a man before them, Joseph by name, who was sold as a slave. So, see the contradiction. God sent him ahead, but what happened? He was sold as a slave. So, God's intention is what? I want to put him ahead so that there is coming a time of famine. If you read the book of Genesis very well, that was the plan. God was looking at the future, and he could see that there will be famine globally. And he said, this guy, I've raised him for that purpose. And I'm going to send him ahead so that in that time of famine, he will preserve my people, the Israelites. But he was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in iron. Verse 19 is my emphasis. He said, until the time that his word came to pass, until the time that the things that Joseph had said, God has raised me to be a leader. God has blah, blah, blah. He said, until the time his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So, all what he was saying, I believe God wants me to be, I believe God sent me to this generation. I believe God, I believe, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. He went into slavery. They put him in fetters. And all of that, he said, and until the day when that thing now finally happened, all of that time, God's word was testing him. It was testing him. It was testing him. It was testing him to see whether Joseph will walk. Huh? You know what we often say? I tried what pastor said, it didn't work. No, 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 no. God is trying you. You didn't work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are the one that didn't work. You are the one with a bad engine. Huh? Not the word of God. I tried it, pastor. It didn't. The word tried you. You didn't work. Until his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested Joseph, and Joseph walked. Joseph passed. Are you with me? So until that word comes to pass, ask yourself, will I walk? Will I persist? Will I be consistent? Will I bring to pass what God has said or not? That's the key thing. Number three, because of time. Beyond that journey, you ask the witnesses. Isn't it? If you're on a journey, you ask the witnesses. You ask the people on the road. When you are driving, you don't know where you are going. You know, you ask the people on the road. You stop. You ask the mama Akara that is selling the Akara on the road. You say, "Mama, I'm going to Ife. Is it this way? Have you done that before? Anybody, you've done that before?" Then you have to stop and say, "Ah, this person who has been on this road. You've been on this road before. Is this the way to it?" Or you ask somebody else in the motor park, "Is this the way to it?" If there's a motor park, you stop there. You say, "Please, so, Oga, I'm going to Igbo Oloyin. Is this the way?" And he'll tell you, "Ah, you have passed it, oh." He say, "Yes, it's the turning at the back. You see, as you are going like this, just turn back. And when you go that way, as you will reach one petrol station by the side, when you get to that petrol station, ask them again." They're saying, ask the people who have been on that road, who have been on that journey. Are you with me? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Because if you don't do that, after a while of going, you will get what? Tired. Abi? Can you imagine if somebody is going to Ibadan and he has been driving, there's no traffic, but he's been driving for 6 hours. Where might he be? By that time, in 6 hours, maybe he's already seeing Benin. Abi? So when he's seeing Benin, and then he's still going a little beyond, and he will start wondering even to himself that, I'm tired though. Abi? And the reason is because he didn't ask on the road. You say, this journey that I'm taking, that I'm not sure, and it's been on for a little bit, and I thought it wasn't that far, but it's going too long. I should have asked somebody on the road to say, "Sorry," and they say, "You turned at that place. You shouldn't have turned there. You should have stayed on that road straight down." Are you hearing me? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He said, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance that is set, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." My emphasis is verse 1. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." The witnesses are people that have seen or experience something themselves before. And what was the Bible saying here? Remember that value about interpreting the Bible. It starts with what? "Therefore." Meaning that is referring or connecting to what he had said before in Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 we call the all or the chapter of faith. And so he had listed all kinds of people. And he's saying, because we have this great cloud of witnesses, these are the people we should be looking to. These are the people we should be asking questions. These are the people who are telling us that this is the right journey. These are the people who are telling us that God can give an old woman a baby. These are the people that are telling us that God can do the incredible. That are telling us that God can save from the mouth of lions, that are telling us all kinds of things. He's saying, look, we should be looking at the crowd of witnesses in order to be consistent and run with patience the race that is set before us. Are you with me? So look at the witnesses. They're there. Go to your Bible. Read those stories again. They're not fables. They are stories of real people. Things that happen to real people in real time at the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if it happened then, it was put there for a purpose in order to encourage you on your journey now. Their stories are there in order to tell you that our God is good and gracious and faithful and can be trusted. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Number four, let me close very quickly. Number four, and that's why I read verse 2 there. Keep looking unto Jesus. If you want to be consistent, keep looking unto Jesus. So you don't just look at the witnesses. You don't just ask the witnesses. You look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Meaning what? Don't become a professional at your life that you know how to do it. You know how to handle it, you know. Don't get to the place where you feel I don't need God. I have experience. That's what he said in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, trust in the Lord with all your mind, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. A translation says, he will make your path smooth and straight. But what do I have to do in order for him to direct my path, in order to make my path smooth and straight? I have to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I have to get always, all the time, concerning all things, I must keep trusting God, keep praying to God, asking God for his mighty hand upon what I do, for his mighty hand on me, for his mighty hand on every endeavor of mine. And not claim that I know it. I have been in this business for 25 years. There are people who have been in business for 50 years and went out of business. So you still need God. Ephesians 6:10 says, therefore, beloved, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where your strength ought to lie at all times. In fact, the truth of the matter is this: if you walk with God and he shows you the light of life, you will see that the more you know, the less you know. What do I mean by that? You will see that life is really not in your hands. The more you grow in God and you begin to see things for what they really are, the more you understand the need for God. Are you with me? I was talking to a man, and I'm trying to close. I was talking to a minister, you know, a Nigerian minister in the UK. He was a multimillionaire. In pound sterling, they said that's the only currency with first name and last name. You know, multimillionaire. And he was talking, and he said, you know, that people also make the mistake of thinking that maybe in the West and all that, you know, there's no spirituality and all. He says a lie. He said, look, that at that level, at certain levels, he said those who are not at some levels may not know. He said, but at certain levels in business and things there, he said people are doing things, and they belong to all kinds of occult groups. He said, look, I can tell you about my own boss. He has many investments. He said, I can tell you. And I was telling him about something that I read and about a place that they go in the U.S. I thought I was saying, is it once in a year or something? And he said, no. He said, it's once in 2 years. He said, my boss goes there. That all kinds of billionaires and even presidents of nations will go there. They enter the place. They are there for a few days. No cameras, no recording, nothing. And somebody, only one person has ever entered the thing before. And the guy said, they worship an owl like a bird. And the man said, no. He said, it's every 2 years. He said, my boss goes. He said, but people, many believers think that it's not so. He said, no. You better know what you know. And hold on to God. Because your God is bigger than all that. He said, but that's the only way you will survive. Things are not just as they appear. Are you with me? So let me say quickly again as I close. Develop the power of consistency. Be a consistent human being. Be a consistent, first and foremost, a consistent believer. Handling the mysteries of God. And I said, number one, to do that, you have to live by revelation. Live your life by revelation. And thus live by conviction, if you wish. Number two, don't stop because there are bumps on the road or on the journey. Don't stop because of challenges, delays, and all. Don't stop. Keep going. Can I have an amen? Number three, follow the witnesses. So there are witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, actually in the whole Bible, that tell you that God's word works. Follow them. Can I have an amen? And number four, make sure that you are always looking unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto. That's present continuous, as my English teacher taught me. It means that you are looking unto Jesus yesterday. You are looking unto Jesus today. It means that tomorrow you will still be looking unto Jesus. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. As I said that many years ago, I went to preach. In my old secondary school fellowship. And when I got there, they introduced me. Oh, this is Dr. So-and-so, blah, blah, blah. No, I think I was still a student, medical student. And he said, years ago, he used to be here. And he was a Christian. And I thought to myself, what do you become? Abi? What do you become after many years? Do you become not a Christian? Or ex-Christian? Alumni Christian? Eh? I thought, yeah, if he was, then he should be. He should be a stronger one. Can I have an amen? One with stronger convictions in the things of God. One who knows God even better than he did years ago. Hallelujah. Take a moment and just talk to God this morning. And tell him you will be a consistent person. You'll be a consistent person. Always ask for grace to do the things that need to be done. But as the word of God comes, it carries within it the power, the enablement to make you do what it wants you to do. Ezekiel said, the word came to me and he said, well, son of man, stand up. He said, but as he spoke to me, the word entered me and he stood me up. So you tell him, Lord, I thank you for consistency. Thank you because your word has come and it's releasing the ability, the enablement to be consistent. Consistent in all that I do. Consistent. Consistent in my walk with you. Consistent in my duties for you. Consistent in my commitments in life. I do what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do them. I am a consistent person. I'm not wishy-washy. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you because as that word went forth, it can't return to you void. It fulfills the purpose for which it was sent this morning. Thank you because whether here or online, your power is released upon your people even now to do that which you'll have them do in the name of Jesus. Consistency in walking with God. You need to give your life to Christ, or you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Then do so right now also. The power to do so and be consistent is released this morning. But put your hand on your chest right where you are. If you're online, do the same thing. Put your hand on your chest right where you are and say, Lord, here I am. I lay my life down before you. You are not just my Savior, Jesus, but you are my Lord. And as my Lord, everything you expect of me, I will do. Knowing that you will help me, I make that commitment. I know you will be faithful to it. I know your grace is available, and I stand by it this morning. I draw from you this morning, and I commit myself to you this morning. Father, thank you for answered prayers here this morning. Because you confirm your word with miracles, signs and wonders, various distributions of the Holy Ghost. Thank you because even the things that we have forgotten to pray about, you will do. You have done. Thank you for answers beyond our reckoning. Beyond our reckoning. Because you are the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Thank you for turning things around for us. Thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for direction, for guidance. in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name.